Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I titled the message, The Heart of Christianity, the Resurrection. John Stott said, Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. You see, just the fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead, it means volumes to us as Christians, as believers. It tells us that Jesus is God's Son, as he has told us in his written word. Paul wrote in Romans 1, verses 1 to 4, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It also proves the Lord's sacrifice for sin, that it was accepted by God the Father. You know what that means for us this morning? Are you ready for this? It means we can be assured that the work of salvation is complete. It's a done deal, man. That tells me there is nothing more. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do to inherit eternity in heaven. He's already done it. Jesus did it at the cross. And it was accepted before the Father. Man, one of the scriptures I really love is Galatians 2:20. I mean, you got to love the Apostle Paul's attitude. Should be our attitude. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Church, are you listening to me? But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for us. You see, our Lord's resurrection also declared that he is the judge. Guess who's going to be on the throne during the 7-year tribulation judging the world? Yes, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And the reason why he's going to be on the throne judging the world is because the world rejected him as Lord and Savior of their lives. He's going to be judging. He's coming one day soon. I can't begin to tell you how close we are getting to him coming back. All this is going to be done. This is going to be behind us. And now we're going to be with him, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. He's going to judge this world. It's why Satan loves to come against the truth of the resurrection, as we've been studying here in the Gospel of Luke. I mean, Satan started with the lie that the disciples came and stole the Lord's body. But how could that happen? I mean, the tomb was guarded with Roman guards. These were experts in crucifixion. These were men who, if somebody was to get in that tomb and steal the body, they would have been executed by the Roman authorities. How could the disciples, who, by the way, were so afraid they were in hiding, take down these Roman soldiers and then go in and steal the Lord's body? How could they do that? Well, let me go a step further. Scripture says the disciples themselves didn't even believe Jesus would be resurrected. Satan laid out a lot of lies about Jesus. But you know what? According to God's word, the scriptures, there's no truth to any of it. All the facts are here. The foundation of the message of the gospel totally lies on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 8. Listen to what Paul said. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you The gospel which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. It is believed Paul the Apostle got a special revelation from Jesus Christ. He received this. He said that Christ died for our sins, notice, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen by Cephas, Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time. 500 men saw Jesus after the resurrection, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep, some have died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Now you got to remember, Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 1, the apostles were sent out as what? Witnesses of Christ's resurrection. That's what they were sent out as. In fact, the entire emphasis on the book of Acts is on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm sure that's why Luke finished his writings with Jesus appearing to others after he had risen from the dead. The proof. Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene in John 20. Then to the other women in Matthew 28. And then, as we're going to see in our study this morning, the two guys that were on their way to Emmaus here in chapter 24. According to verse 34, he also appeared to Peter, Cephas, and to his half-brother, James. Remember, James didn't believe in Jesus. He was his half-brother. After the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived, and Jesus was born, well, her and Joseph had more sons and daughters. One of them was James. James didn't believe in Jesus. So Jesus went to his half-brother and gave him a personal appearance and said, bro, here I am, man. Here I am, just like I told you. Just like I told you. In verses 36 to 43, he appeared to the apostles. But at that time, the first time, Thomas wasn't with him. Remember, doubting Thomas? Brother got a bad rap. But within a week, Jesus appeared to them again, and Thomas was with him. That's when Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, look at my hands, look at the nail scars. Here, feel my side, Thomas. What'd Thomas do? Got down on his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. He doubted, like we do many times. That's why Jesus said, hey, blessed are you that have seen, but more blessed are those who will not have seen. That's us. Here we are 2,000 years later. Here we are at the end of the 2,000-year church dispensation, in the last of the last days. May 14th, 1948. I've told you guys before. It's when the Jewish people, after 2,000 years been scattered, came back in their land, went to the United Nations in New York and declared their sovereignty again as the nation of Israel. Exactly as the prophets predicted. Exactly as Jesus predicted. Jesus appeared to some of the apostles when they were fishing. We see that in John chapter 21. And he appeared often to the apostles before he ascended into heaven. Why was he appearing to the apostles before he ascended? There in Luke, in Acts chapter 1. He was preparing them for their ministry, man. He's saying, you guys, when I leave, you best be working. You best be working. Because we need to grab as many people as we can before Jesus comes back, man. We need to take them to heaven with us. We got the truth. We have the truth. We need to take as many as we can, man, with us. Look at verse 1 as we begin our study. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These were angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, the angel said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. You know what? We get ourselves in trouble because we forget his words. They remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Remember Judas Iscariot, son of perdition. He went out and hung himself, so there was 11 apostles at that time left. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Well, we know John also ran with him. In fact, I think John outran Peter. Peter must have been a heavy smoker or something. I don't know, man. But he outran him to the tomb, one of the other gospel says. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, no one really knows exactly what time in the morning Jesus rose from the dead. But according to the scriptures, it was very early. That's why we celebrate resurrection morning on Easter as the sun is coming up. As we see it coming up over in the mountains, over Apple Valley. And we're all sitting here and we're worshiping God and we're talking about the resurrection that he rose on this day 2,000 years ago. It's exciting. It's an excitement. It's something the church has been doing for 2,000 years, man, and we're blessed to be a part of it every Easter. Matthew 28 tells us there was an earthquake and the angel opened the tomb. But you see, you got to understand, it wasn't done so Jesus could come out of that tomb. Man, he could have blew the thing to kingdom come to open that door if he wanted to. The reason why they opened the door to the tomb and rolled that stone away, are you ready for this? Was to let witnesses in to see that he is no longer dead. He's no longer dead, man. Mary Magdalene, of whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. Boy, I bet she was a trip to hang around with. Can you imagine having her as your neighbor before she got saved? Mary was extremely devoted to Jesus. In fact, she was one of the last to leave the cross. And notice she's one of the first to get to the tomb. The other women came with her because they wanted to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. What an incredible experience that they would carry for the rest of their lives. Here they're going to finish caring for the Lord's body, right? Just to find out he had risen from the dead. Jesus is alive, man, just as he said. Just as he said. They saw and heard the two angels. It's almost as if these angels were rebuking them. Don't you remember what he told you? Hello? They were reminding the women of what Jesus had been telling them all along. How come we can't get God's word into our head and into our hearts, into our lives? It's all truth. Every word of it is going to come to pass and has come to pass. Jesus told those who were following him, he said, look, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. But I'm going to be raised from the dead on the third day. I mean, he was specific about this because he didn't want them to miss out and doubt what he was saying as the Son of God. Go figure. Go figure. But consider this. How many times do we forget God's word? What happens when we forget God's word? Are you ready for this? I mean, you're going to agree with me. When we forget God's word, we begin living a defeated life. Our life is nothing but defeated because we forgot his word. That's why you got to be in the word every day. You have to be studying it. You got to, as Hebrews 10 verses, 24-25, as it says, don't lack the coming together in a place of assembly with other believers. And so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? His return. His return. He's coming, man. Could be today. Could be any time. Are you ready? Are you really, really ready? Or are you so caught up in this life that you're not watching? Paul was clear in 2 Timothy 4. He's coming for those who are watching for him, man. Those who are looking for his appearing. You see, as Christians, we have no excuse. For one thing, the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. Hello! It's living inside of us. What's he doing? He's helping us, and he's leading and guiding us to remember his word. Where do you get that in Scripture, Rick? Man, I'm glad you guys are on it this morning. You're probably drinking your coffee there at home in your PJs. Remember what Jesus had said in John 14:26? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my Jesus name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I, Jesus, said to you. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. I mean, there's no other way to describe it but amazing. When the women went to tell the disciples what had happened, notice the guys didn't believe them. You guys are tripping. You ladies are tripping. Not a chance, man. We saw him with our own eyes, our own ojos. He's dead. It's over. It's done. You know what? When you look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus rebuked them for not believing. He rebuked them, man, the apostles. Peter and John were the first apostles to run to the tomb. They had to see for themselves if Jesus' body was there or not. You know what, man? I'm not believing you. I'm going to go myself. I want to see myself if his body's in there or not. When we go to Israel today, we go in and we see the tomb. You can walk inside. Walking inside and looking, they got a rail there and looking where the Lord had laid 2,000 years ago. It just does something to you, man. It does something to you. It's hard to explain it. It's just something resonates in your inside, in your spirit. It's incredible. And then to walk out of that tomb, man, it's impressive to know that Jesus was there and is gone. But you know what's even more important than that? Is to read and study God's word. Why? Because there we have the testimony of the witnesses who literally saw him alive after he resurrected from the dead. The witnesses are right here. We're reading about him now. Keep this in mind. The women did not expect to see Jesus alive. They had forgotten his word. They had forgotten his word, what he had said. They were on a mission to finish anointing his body. Brings us to our next story. I love this story, man. Look at verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Jesus. And Jesus said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? What are you talking about, Holmes? What's happening? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said Jesus was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women said. But him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Man, that must have been a kicker of a Bible study. Can you imagine God himself telling you his word that pointed to him all throughout the Old Testament? I would have loved, man, I pray when we get to heaven, I want to get the rerun, man. I want to get the rerun. I want to check it out. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And Jesus went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, man, I love this. This happens every time I study God's word, every time I hear it teach. Listen to what they said. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? Man, then our heart burned. We couldn't take, we're like pit bulls, man, waiting for some more meat. Gimme, 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 gimme. I want more. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 apostles and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon Peter. And they told about the things that had happened on the road to Emmaus, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Here we got two guys, disciples, walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as we see them here, I mean, they were discouraged, no doubt. No doubt they were bummed. They were hanging on a bummer, man, big time. They had heard what the women had said. The tomb was empty. And Jesus was said to be alive. But you know what? Like so many others, they didn't believe. They didn't believe them. They were hoping it was Jesus who would redeem Israel. But everything they were hoping for now went up in smoke. So they were just moping around in hopelessness. You ever get to that place where you're just moping around in hopelessness like Eeyore? Oh, well, oh man. Man, when I see Christians like that, I want to give them a Holy Ghost slap upside the head. What are you doing? We got the Holy Spirit living. We're going to heaven, man. We might not even die. We could be alive and go to heaven. We're living in that time period. Man, it sure sounds like they were disappointed. No doubt they were feeling like God didn't do what they were expecting him to do. Isn't that how we are today? We expect God to do certain things for us, and when it seems like he's not doing them or didn't do what we wanted him to do, what happens? We get depressed. We get discouraged. We get disappointed. And eventually, you know what happens? I've seen it all these years of being a Christian. We end up going sideways, and we get upset and mad at God. It's what we do. Well, the scriptures are clear. They saw the glory of the kingdom when Jesus walked on this earth. They saw the glory. Mount Hermon, Peter, James, and John saw it when Jesus was transfigured right before them. But here's where the problem is. They failed to understand that little part about suffering. Yeah, suffering. Here Jesus is walking with them. He's listening to what they're saying. They're venting to Jesus as they're walking. I mean, these guys were really beside themselves, man. You know what's so troubling about this to me? They're quoting Old Testament prophecies and trying to remember what Jesus had taught them. But they just weren't able to put it together. They couldn't figure how to make sense of it. You ever do that with God's word? You know what I really love about Jesus in this situation? Notice his sense of humor. What are you talking about, Rick? What do you mean, sense of humor? Well, he asked them what things? I mean, that's hilarious. When you consider he was in the middle of everything that had taken place in Jerusalem. And now he's asking them, what things? You know what it shows us this morning? It shows us how patient Jesus is with us. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. He listens to us. He actually lets us vent to him what he already knows. Here we're spilling our beans to the Lord, and he already knows these things. Paul made the point in Romans 8, 32 to 34. He who did not spare his own son, God the Father, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he, God, not with him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? Come on, man. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's who we are. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Who's going to condemn us? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even where? At the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Man, that's why Hebrews 4:16 tells us, as believers, we can now come boldly to the throne and pour out our hearts to him. And he will help us. The issue is with us. We get so blinded. We get so upset with what we're dealing with that we get to the place, if God is speaking to us, we can't hear him. We're so blinded. We're so upset. We can't hear him speaking. This is fascinating. How much evidence did they need? Why are these guys tripping? There were a lot of witnesses who saw the empty tomb with their own eyes. Angels even proclaim that, hey, Jesus is alive, just as he said. In fact, a lot of witnesses saw him alive. They heard him speak. They had all the proof that they would ever need. I thought of Romans 10, verse 16, 17. Paul writes, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing. It's not what you can see. It comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. You guys know the biblical definition of faith. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. The evidence of things not seen. Just like what we need to do in desperate times. Jesus opened God's word to them. And man, it must have been an incredible Bible study. Must have been awesome. You see, if you will, let me get personal with you. Like so many people today, the real problem wasn't what was going on in their minds. It's what was going on in their hearts. It's what was going on in their hearts. Here's the bottom line. You can literally think that you are a know-it-all when it comes to issues. But just like these two disciples, you need a good understanding of God's word. You need to understand God's word. You see, Jesus gave that understanding to them. He opened the scriptures to them. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does to us? The Holy Spirit opens God's word to us so that we can understand it. Then he opened their eyes. That's when they realized Jesus wasn't only alive. Man, he's right here walking with us and talking with us. They simply didn't believe what the prophets had written about the Messiah. Amazingly, most of the Jews in that day had the same issue. They saw Messiah as a conquering redeemer. And even though many of them knew parts of the Old Testament in their religion, Judaism, they didn't see him as a suffering servant. It's almost as if they picked certain scriptures that they wanted or liked, and they threw out the others that didn't work for them. You ever do that? You can't do that. You got to take the full counsel of God, man. They saw the glory in the scriptures, but they didn't see the suffering. They were looking at the crown. They were looking at the crown. That's why the cross totally caught them off guard. Totally threw them out. No wonder why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are dying and going to hell. But to us who are being saved, come on, man. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. Through the years, I've heard of pastors, believe it or not, who teach God's word, that they have never read the Bible from cover to cover at least once in their Christian lives. Not even once. I'm believing for sure Jesus started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 with them. But I want to give you some godly wisdom this morning. And I say this especially to yous who are in leadership, ministry coordinators, leaders. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. If you have never read through the entire Bible, cover to cover, at least once, systematically through, verse by verse, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, then biblically, this isn't from me, this is God's word, biblically, you are not qualified to give out the full counsel of God's word. You're not qualified to do that. I would have loved to have been at this Bible study. I mean, we're talking about no greater teacher than God himself. Jesus Christ, explaining the Holy Scriptures and the blessings to people's lives. The blessings. First, he opened their eyes to see him. And then he opens their hearts to receive and understand God's word. You know why Jesus did that? It's going to catch you guys off guard. The reason was so they could tell others what Jesus had told them. Evangelism, baby. It's talking about getting the word out to others. Oh, but Rick, I don't want to get someone ticked at me. Really? So you're not going to say nothing to them, and they die and they end up in hell, and they're ticked at you for eternity. I'd rather get someone mad at me now, but tell them God's truth and that God has prepared a way for them to go to heaven and take them to heaven with me, man. That's what I'd rather do. As we wrap up our teaching this morning, I want to leave you with something I have learned in all my years as a believer. When you get to the place where you begin to understand God's word, the Bible, you are actually going to see Jesus in all the scriptures. You're going to see him in all the scriptures. Keep in mind, he didn't teach just about doctrine or prophecy. He taught them the things concerning himself. That's what he taught them, man. I mean, these men were won over by God's word. They were won over by God's word. How do I know that? Because they didn't know who this stranger was. They didn't know it was Jesus. It was God's word that won them over. The only place it hit them was in their hearts. They admitted right here, their hearts were burning within them. And you know what? They wanted that burning to continue for the rest of their lives. They wanted that burning. Man, didn't our hearts burn within us when he was giving us the scriptures? Let me finish with saying, after years of reading and studying God's word, my own personal experience, the more I receive it, the more I want to fellowship with him. The more I can't wait to be with him. The things of this life causes me to just hold on to them loosely, because I'm going to have to let them go, because I'm going to heaven, because that's our priority. Amen? Let's pray.